The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Thursday, April 11th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, with you here on ESPN 106.7. It is a overcast, windy day. It was sunny a little bit ago, nasty yesterday and last night around Auburn and around the state, but hopefully everybody that you know, and you included, were safe and sound through all the weather. Tons to get to today on the show. Happy Masters Thursday. Happy opening day of the Masters. It is underway over at Augusta National Golf Club. Man, I've been keeping up with it all morning long. My production level here at the office may not have been as high as it should have been, but that's okay. It's an excuse this week with the Masters being on. And you've got guys who birdied number one and haven't looked back. You've got some big names that are struggling out of the gate. We are officially on Tiger Woods watch as he tees off in just under an hour. And I was on earlier with Doug talking a little bit about this. And, you know, it's interesting what is going to happen with some of these later tee times. Since they had to push everything back because of the weather. Thankfully, they didn't have to push it back all that much, and so we'll see what happens with some of these afternoon tee times. But we're going to talk about the Masters today. We're going to talk about the news with Kentucky as they are still looking for their next head coach. A couple of guys have officially turned it down, and I know it's crazy. There's one out there that has not. There's a couple out there that have not. But two of the three big names have officially said, no, I'm not taking the job. I'm staying where I am. We'll talk about that today on the show as well. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network will be with us, as he is every Thursday. We'll talk about Auburn baseball as they get back underway tonight after a tough weekend against Tennessee. Also a bad game against Alabama State in the midweek. So they've got Kentucky coming in this weekend. And so we'll talk to Brad Law about that and get his recap from A-Day and everything else going on around Auburn Athletics. And really excited with everything going on around the Southeastern Conference right now, Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, will be with us coming up in hour number two. So I have a feeling he's got a lot of things to say on the show today. Outside of those two guests, though, you know the drill. Phone lines are open. Come on in. Be a part of the show. Let's talk about it. 334-321-1390. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? You want to talk about the Masters? You want to talk college basketball? Auburn may have some news on the transfer portal. Yes, we should maybe talk about that as well. Nothing official, but seems to be moving in the right direction. So anything that you want to talk about, give me a call. 334-321-1390. And as you look at the leaderboard, Ryan Fox right now at Augusta with 5 under. He eagled number 8. He is just off and running. And, man, it's just... it's the best tournament, man. It's just so much fun. We all got our Masters gear on. Everybody that owns a Masters shirt or a hat or something is wearing it today to celebrate the start of the Masters. And, man, it's just so much fun. You got Bryson DeChambeau, who just birdied 12 and 13. He's now 4 under par. And look, if you haven't discovered this website yet, you should. It's the most basic, simple website you can ever type into the URL. It's called masters.com. And if you haven't figured that out, go do it. It's phenomenal. They've got the leaderboard. You can watch every shot. You can listen to the shots. I started the day by listening to the radio, and those guys do a wonderful job of calling the Masters on the radio. And they've got everything you could ever want on masters.com. That's where I'm at. They've got the old school leaderboard that you see at at Augusta, and when somebody finishes a hole, it looks like they're changing it out by hand like they do on the grounds. I mean, it's just phenomenal what they do there on Masters.com. So go check that out. I've got it pulled up. We'll be updating you and talking about it pretty much, not all day, but throughout today and tomorrow for sure. And reminder that tomorrow we are at Baumhauer's Victory Grill from 2 to 6 on the line, and the drive will be live on location. That is brought to you by Cincy Green Heating and Air. Excited to be out there. We'll be talking Auburn. We'll be talking college basketball. We'll definitely be talking about the Masters. Probably have some really fun guests on the show, so be sure you come out and join us tomorrow at Baumhauer's from 2 to 6 as ESPN 106.7. We'll be live on location, but let's talk the Masters a little bit. And intern show producer Alan wants to jump in, talk a little Masters. So, look, man, you've been watching it this morning and throughout this afternoon. What have you seen so far from some of the early guys out there?
Well, first of all, Merry Christmas to all golf fans out there. It is officially Masters Thursday.
Yes, and it's just better than Christmas,
absolutely,
man.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, the first thing that I'm noticing right away is Ryan Fox, 5-under par through 12 holes, and he's going to go to a very gettable par 5, 13th. So
yeah,
he's definitely got it going on.
Going Augusta through Amen right Corner right now. Yeah,
absolutely. Bryson DeChambeau birdied his first three like Ryan Fox. So those two got it going on right now at the Masters. And then you also got former champion Danny Willett there at 2-under par. And you're starting to see a lot of those top names. Will Zalatoris has made a couple birdies, and
yeah,
Scottie Scheffler's 2-under par as well.
So, yes,
yeah, he's been the overwhelming favorite. So it's gonna be an exciting week. We have a Tiger sighting on the TV here in the studio.
So he's on the grounds and he's gonna be teeing off. What's his official tee time?
I think it's just before 3 o'clock our time, 4 o'clock their time.
Okay. Well, yeah, Scottie Scheffler. And correct me if I'm wrong on this, he had the best odds to win the Masters since Tiger Woods back in like 2013 or something
I think that's right. And Scottie Scheffler, here's an interesting storyline around him. His wife's due date for their for their child is in two or three weeks. And he said that he is fully prepared to leave the grounds at any point in the golf tournament should he get that call.
Wow.
So that is definitely going to be something to look out for. The world number one undisputed best player in the world potentially having that scenario coming up. And Sam Burns is in the same situation as well. His wife's their due date is a week from right now.
You know, so that's a really tough spot to be in, Alan. That's a tough spot to be in because you and I are a couple of young guys, so we're not in that situation yet. But the world number one at Augusta trying to get his second green jacket, and his wife, if she goes into labor, this is a legitimate question. I know some people may be like, are you serious? But the question is, do you leave? Do you leave and you go if she calls and you get a phone call and says, hey, she's in labor? And I think you and I were talking about this the other day. If you're the caddy, right? If you're his caddy, do you give him that news if he's on the back nine somewhere? Or do you wait the extra hour and a half and say, hey, as soon as he puts it on 18, hey, we got to go. Your wife's in labor.
Well, see, that's what's great about the Masters is the only people that are allowed inside the ropes are the players and the caddies. So unless there's people out there watching, they're going to give him that information. I mean, it's hopefully it doesn't come to that. Hopefully Scottie Scheffler keeps
and there's
doing
no
what
phones
doing
on the ground. Like you have the payphone type things, and you have very important people that have cell phones on the grounds, but patrons don't have it, and the caddies don't have it. I mean, and all the phones are back in the locker rooms and everything.
Yeah, it's what makes the Masters special, and it's the only play in this day and age. It makes someone that is close to our age say, man, thank goodness I don't have my phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only situation where you think that, because it is an absolute. It's imagine Disney World for golf and 20 times better. That's what it is.
Well, that's how I felt on Monday when I went, and that's how I felt the first time I went too, was, you know, man, I was excited to see Augusta and see the golfers, but I was also excited to literally leave my phone in the car. I left it in the car, and I did not have my phone for borderline 12 hours, and I couldn't tell you the last time that I did that. And it really does give you an opportunity to just walk around and take it all in. I got to go with my dad and got to spend just pure quality time with the people that you love, and you get to go and be a part of such a wonderful tournament and really just have memories forever. I don't have a bunch of pictures on my phone or anything to go back and look through, but I can watch the golf tournament right now as Fox is playing 13 and say, yep, I walked right through that those trees right there that he just hit out of. I walked right through there as I was walking through Amen Corner on Monday.
Yeah, I'm a big golf guy. I played a few years in college, mm-hmm. and I've just always been a real fan and fascinated with the history of not just the Masters, but golf in general. And the fact when you first step on the grounds at Augusta National, yes, you think about Tiger and Phil Mickelson. You think about all the greats over the last 70-plus years at the Masters that have walked where you're walking. I mean, when you have those realizations for the first time, when you first – now – you don't get to go down Magnolia Lane. That is a very restricted road for a very select few number of people. But whenever you get on the grounds for the first time, and as you were talking about it on, I believe it was Tuesday, you said you have that first moment where the man says, "Welcome to the Masters," just the chill runs down your spine, and at that point, it's a really special place. And right now the golf tournament's off to a good start. The weather that they thought was going to come in did not hit them as much as they thought it was going to.
Kind of fizzled out.
That's right. And so they were able to get going this morning after just a two-hour delay. You had the ceremonial first tee shot from Jack Nicklaus, Tom Watson, and Gary Player. It's very, very very special tournament and absolutely exciting. And once again, Tiger Woods is on the TV again, getting us just even more excited. And the good thing is that it looks like the weather going forward throughout the rest of the week and into the weekend is going to be good. So, and I'm sure a lot of people will be having their Tiger hats on this week, no doubt.
What color is that shirt that he was wearing?
I don't know.
Is that a salmon? I was going a salmon color with some gray pants and a white shirt. I don't know what happened there.
It looks like a darker shade of salmon over in a vest, and then a lighter shade of salmon over the shirt. So it is a very interesting look, but also Nike. Well, he's not with Nike anymore, but I know that there's a lot of brands that like to come out with their new stuff during the mm-hmm. Masters. Cough. Nike has definitely come out with some very interesting prints in the past.
Yeah, so they have. Well, there's some big names on the course right now: Bryson DeChambeau, Corey Connors, Will Zalatoris, Scottie Scheffler, Phil Mickelson, Justin Thomas, John Rahm, Matt Fitzpatrick, Victor Hovland, Shane Lowry just teed off and birdied number one. Tony Finau is out there. He's even par. Ricky Fowler is also even par. He just made the turn going to the back nine. Justin Rose is out there as well. So Patrick Cantlay, Rory McIlroy. I mean, all the biggest names in golf are on the course or about to be on the course. And, man, it's exciting for this week and for the Masters. And I heard Doug talking earlier this week, and I was talking with him today on his show. And man, some people and a lot of golfers have come out and said, you know, I don't really like playing Augusta because it's not fair. They said it's not fair because they can change how the golf course plays overnight. Because of all the ventilation systems and all the things they have that they've spent the hundreds of millions of dollars to put in under the golf course, there are some that just don't like playing there because they can't get a feel for it, and it does not play the same Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah, and here's something that a lot of people some people do know that follow golf religiously, like myself, but it's they make changes every single year,
mm-hmm.
and they certainly have the budget to do that as well. And they have the sub ventilation systems underneath the greens, so they can get them as firm or as soft as they want whenever they have some rain come in. So probably got to be a little softer golf course today, and then as the wind picks up, should dry that out this afternoon, and we should have some pretty firm and fast conditions as we go into the weekend. But seeing up there, Xander Schauffele off to a kind of a slower start. He was one of the favorites coming into this week. So, and then you also have John Rahm, the defending champion, looking to be the first one to go back to back since Tiger Woods in the early 2000s. So
that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and absolutely. And you also have players like Wyndham Clark, and it's crazy to think a guy like Wyndham Clark, top five in the world, he's never played in the Masters.
Yeah.
And you have someone like Ludvig Åberg. He's been kind of that rising tour star out of Sweden, and he found a way to make the Ryder Cup team for Europe, play in it, win it, and then he managed to do all that and win a PGA Tour event all before he played in the Masters. So this is his first Masters as well.
That's
there's
so
a
crazy.
There's a lot of young talent.
And big storylines in the Masters right now, too. And that's what is all part of the fun right now. So we'll keep you updated as we go along through today. We'll talk a ton about it tomorrow as well when we're on location at Baumhauer's, brought to you by Centigreen, talking about the Masters as we are underway here in the Masters and also on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Would love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. We'll talk some college basketball, some big time news, and still waiting on some potential even bigger news in terms of Kentucky's next head coach and possibly what Auburn could be doing in the transfer portal. We'll talk about all that when we come back here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Well, a lot of people in Auburn are starting to get a little bit more nervous, starting to kind of move around in their chairs a little bit more today with all the news flying around the still open spot for the new head coach of Kentucky basketball. And there's been a lot of names flying around over the last week or so, and or I guess not a week, but borderline a week. And you know, it was names like Dan Hurley. It was names like Scott Drew. It was names like Nate Oates and possibly even Bruce Pearl and Billy Donovan. And a lot of the talking points have been, okay, who are they going to go after? Who's the list that Kentucky has? How much money are they going to pay somebody? And ultimately, who is going to take the job? Who's going to say yes? Well, that has not happened yet, but there have been guys that have said no. And Scott Drew was a big one this morning when it came out and he declined the job. He said no. He's not taking it. Now, does that mean Kentucky will quit pursuing it? I don't know. I think they're probably done pursuing him. But another guy that said he's not going has said it multiple times. And then another report came out this afternoon saying that he was not going to take it. By the name of Dan Hurley, the back-to-back national championship winning coach at UConn. And it came out again this afternoon that he is not going. And I keep being told from people in UConn, people in Connecticut, people around that program, that he's not going anywhere. He's not going to take that job. And I told Doug earlier today that I don't think Kentucky's done pursuing that. And maybe they are now with this extra report that he's not going anywhere. But folks, have you seen the amount of money that Kentucky is willing to offer some of these guys, including Dan Hurley, probably their top priority coach? Double-digit millions per year. 10, 11, 12 million dollars a year to be a head basketball coach. That is unheard of. That does not happen in college basketball. It might now, but in the past, that's not a thing. And I said yesterday, and I made this a point, John Calipari just left Kentucky and is getting paid $7 million a year at Arkansas, which is still a lot. But the fact that Kentucky is willing to pay a top-level coach $10, $11, $12 million a year? That's wild to me. But I think some of these guys are worth it. I think Dan Hurley's worth it. I think somebody like Nate Oates could be worth it. I don't think you'd have to pay him that much, but you could if you wanted to. I don't think Scott Drew was worth that much. I think he was a good $7, $8, maybe $9 million coach. What about Billy Donovan? I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that one. But the bottom line is, top guys on their list in Lexington have shut it down. They said no. They have been declined. That's kind of embarrassing for Kentucky, is it not? Is it not embarrassing that they've gone after their top guy, their second guy, their third guy, and they've all said, nah, we're good. I don't think we want that pressure. I don't think we want to go into that piranha tank that is the fan base of the Kentucky Wildcats. And they're very, very passionate. Very passionate. But they demand excellence. They demand championships. And they've let that slip for the last few years. They've let that go. Not that they haven't still wanted them, but they let John Calipari get away with not winning for 4 or 5 years. And they finally all just came together and everything worked itself out to where they just decided, look, we all got to move on. And now Kentucky's trying to find that next guy, and they can't find him. Nobody wants the job. And for guys like Dan Hurley, why would you leave? Why would you leave UConn? I know it's a lot of money, and it's more than he's making at UConn, and it's more than UConn can pay him. And I know that Kentucky's going to have more NIL opportunities and more recruiting opportunities, and things are changing in college basketball. I get it. But who cares if you're Dan Hurley, right? You're a back-to-back national champion winning coach. Who cares? You can do whatever you want. You've done your job. You're a legend at UConn. And if you coach there for the next 5-6 years, even if you don't win another championship, even if you don't make another Final Four, you're still a living legend in that state, at that university, because of what you've done. Something that not many programs can say they've done in winning back-to-back national championships. And I know that money talks, but guess what? I know I say on this program that it's all about the money, and most of the time it is. But there are a few souls in the world that it's not all about the money. They would rather enjoy where they work. They would rather enjoy the area they live in. They would rather be with their family in the area that they've grown up. They would rather work a happier job with what would now probably be less expectations at UConn than you would have at Kentucky, a less stressful job. So I don't doubt it at all that Dan Hurley says, no, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not walking into Kentucky. Absolutely not. I don't need that. And he's making enough money, I promise. And for somebody like Scott Drew, who in his statement today said, you know, they put God over everything and then family and all this type of stuff, and they love where they are in Waco and all that, and that's cool. That's fine. And I think I believe him. But that doesn't mean Kentucky's going to quit trying. They're going to still go after somebody like a Nate Oates, who has, I don't know if officially turned it down, but said he wasn't leaving. I think that's a little bit different. I think Kentucky would still go after somebody like Bruce Pearl. And I think Kentucky would still go after somebody like Billy Donovan. Here's the thing with Donovan, though. He's been coaching the NBA for quite some time now. And the college game is so different than when he was winning back-to-back national championships. A lot different. And there's a massive, massive jump and coaching difference from the NBA to college. Because in the NBA, it's the same thing we've talked about with the NFL and college football. Like, you're dealing with grown men who come in and do this for their job in the NBA. They're making a heck of a lot more money than you are. So they come in and take it serious, and most of the time you don't have to worry about babysitting them and teaching them how to do things as an adult and all that type of stuff, right? You all come in, you go to work, and you go home. In college, it's a 365-day-a-year job. You're recruiting. You're actively recruiting your roster, other rosters, transfer portal, high school, coaching, practice, all of those things. Going out on fundraising trips and speaking and going to these different conventions. I mean, doing all these different things that it takes to be a college coach nowadays. And my question is, would Billy Donovan be good at it? Would he want to do all of those things? I don't know. I don't know the guy. I'm just trying to think through all these different options. And I still think Kentucky should go after Nate Oates. I really do. I absolutely do. Because I think Nate Oates has proven he's a winner. He's proven he's a really good coach. And no, he's not, quote-unquote, the young guy. But he's still got some good years. And he's 49. Dan Hurley's 51. They're younger than the other options. And they're going to be coaching for the next 15 years. And Kentucky's already proven and shown that they're willing to pay somebody. What if it's Bruce Pearl? What if they come after him? Possibly. It's possible. But then, let's try to get outside of that circle for a second. folks keep talking about Will Wade. They keep throwing that name in there. I think it's possible. Sure. Why not? But who are other names outside of those? Because that's pretty much been the same circle since this whole thing started. Could it be somebody else outside of that? Somebody we're not talking about. Somebody we haven't thought of. I guarantee you Kentucky's thought of it. But the problem is they're going down on their fifth, sixth, seventh choice. And then if you go to that person, they know that too. And would you accept that job knowing that you were nowhere near the top of their list? I don't know. It's up for discussion. When we come back, we'll talk to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. Auburn A-Day recap. Auburn baseball gets back up tonight as well. We'll talk about all that and more with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We are 30 minutes into hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. I'm Jacob Goetz with you on ESPN 106.7 and excited to have this guy back on the show. He's with us every Thursday in hour number one. It's Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. Brad, happy Thursday. Happy Masters Thursday to you, my friend.
Oh, happy Masters Thursday to you. This is always a time that a lot of people look forward to every year, and we're getting a beautiful rest of the day anyway after the rain last night. So, yeah, it's a good time. Good to be back with you.
I assume that's all you've been doing today in preparation for Auburn baseball is just kicking back and watching the Masters coverage until about 6:30 tonight, huh?
The Masters is unlike any other golf tournament. It's if people try to tell you it's just like any other tournament, then they're sorely mistaken. There's so much history and tradition, and I know people who turn down invitations to go to family birthday parties and things of that nature just to watch this year's or that year's edition of the Masters. So it's good. I haven't watched any of it this year so far, but we've had some other stuff to do to get ready. But I certainly know a lot of people that have spent an entire day watching the coverage already.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of fun, and you will have a chance to watch some of it on Sunday since Auburn baseball back in action with a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. We'll get to that momentarily, talk about last weekend, the midweek hiccup there for Auburn, and then getting back in action. But we have a little bit of breaking news on the side of Auburn basketball, Brad. As of about 5 minutes ago, according to his Instagram, Dylan Cardwell says the job's not done, and he is coming back to Auburn. He'll be coming back to Auburn and Bruce Pearl for another season. That's a huge addition for this Auburn Tigers team.
Yeah, a guy who really improved a lot from the beginning of the season to the end of the year, or I guess from the end of the previous season to the beginning of this past season, and is now, I mean, he's a viable big man. He played a lot of key minutes in relief of Jani Broome, and he's definitely a big piece. Now, what else, you know, the next domino, is Jani coming back or is he going to move on? And if he comes back, do you put those guys on the floor at the same time? Is Dylan ready to, you know, take over some starters minutes in a starting role? Or, you know, is he the veteran backup that gives you energy and a rim protector and things of that nature? It is a big piece for sure. That is, as you start to kind of try to fit the puzzle together for what the 24-25 team will look like, that's a big piece. And he'll go a long way in establishing the core of that roster next year.
He's also a fan favorite. I mean, he's a guy that when he comes on the floor, he's always the most energized, and him and KD Johnson had a competition with that. But I mean, he's the guy that when you look at somebody and you say he's a real Auburn man, right? One of those Auburn guys, and he's just one of those that loves Auburn.
Yeah, Jacob, it's hard. It gets harder every year to find guys who will boldly profess their emotions for their school. It's not about the NIL opportunity, although he's getting it. It's not about the chance to compete for the championship every year, although he's getting it. It's not even about the chance to perform on the court, which he's getting. But he's bold about his love for Auburn. And I don't know that there's another school in the country where if you love that school, it will love you back more than Auburn. A lot of places, it's a business opportunity. A lot of places, it's best for me and my career, me and my family. It's the best business decision. At Auburn, it's not a business decision. It's a and Dylan, I think, represents that as well as anybody we've seen across athletics in a long time.
I'll say this too. He's very vocal about his faith, which is something that I appreciate for him doing as well. And in his Instagram post, again, he posted it right before you got on the phone with us, Brad. He recited the entire Auburn creed with highlights of all of his things that he's done at Auburn on and off the floor. And then, yeah, he said the job's not finished, and it just says I'm back as he gets up and walks away. And so you think about what the roster could look like next year. And Dylan is somebody that I've said throughout this entire year, he could go and start at a lot of places, and that's one less roster spot you have to fill, and you bring back somebody that's got just a ton of experience.
Yeah, for sure. And as we know more about the pieces to the roster, we can kind of talk more about how he fits in. I want to kind of follow up on just the fact that he's coming back and somebody in Dylan's position. All right, I think a lot of fans' first response to NIL, specifically Auburn's NIL on to victory, is, you know, all the athletes getting paid and these guys are getting paid a ton of money and this, that, and the other, and we're just facilitating, you know, these people who make more than we do is kind of the average fan's thought. I think Dylan is one of the really terrific representations of NIL making a positive impact, not just for the student athlete, but for the team the following year, because Dylan's NIL opportunities are going to allow him to make more money as a college basketball player for his name, image, and likeness. And he certainly has a brand. He has a name, an image, and a likeness. More so than probably what he might make in an introductory job out of college. Or, you know, I don't know, playing professionally, he'll have a chance to improve and develop his skills as a basketball player. But, you know, On to Victory doesn't pay me to say this. I'm not endorsing. I'm just, when I look at the NIL landscape, there's some stuff that I look at and I go, I don't love that. But Dylan is a real example that we'll watch 30 times on the floor next year of a guy who probably is back in large part because of the NIL opportunities afforded to him by people who support Auburn's NIL campaign. So I think that's important to keep note of. Like, your NIL dollars aren't going out and buying gold chains for every student athlete, the kind of superfluous stuff that we don't like to look at. This is a real positive thing, and you'll see it play out on the court in a big piece of that roster coming back next year.
Yeah, I like the way you put that, because this is not, you know, we need $1 million to go get this five-star recruit or to go get this guy out of the portal. It's somebody that's been at Auburn for a long time and is coming back. And so, and I think that may be something fans look at and maybe decide to donate more if they're capable, and knowing that it goes to a guy like Dylan Cardwell. I like that, Brad.
Yeah, I mean, there's, again, there's the flashy side of it, and the Texas quarterback has an NIL deal now with a private jet company. And, you know, It's an ever-changing landscape, and it's there's a lot of it that I can understand fans being unsettled about or just not sure about. But I think we need to focus a lot of attention on the situations like this. They're not the flashy, glitzy, glamorous situations, but those dollars have made a difference in enabling Auburn's team next year to include a guy with the size, the strength, the ability, and the passion that Dylan possesses.
If you missed it, as we were bringing Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network on with us here on ESPN 106.7, as of about 10 minutes ago, Dylan Cardwell announces that he is returning for one more season to Auburn basketball, to the roster, and he'll be on the Plains once again and will be a huge impact for Bruce Pearl and the Tigers next season. We mentioned it earlier as we brought you on, Brad, Auburn baseball back in action. They've got Kentucky coming in tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday. But how does this team sort of respond to what was a tough weekend last weekend, and then the hiccup in the midweek against Alabama State?
Yeah, they got to figure some stuff out. Offense, you know, we've all kind of been pointing to the pitching and trying to find a starter, and that's an area where they'll continue to work. I don't have the answer, and it's one of the reasons why I've never been on staff to try to come up with the answers. that'd be wasted money. Speaking of money spent and money wasted. But I know that even last year, Butch Thompson and his staff were in a similar situation. They were looking for an answer from the mound, and I don't think anybody expected it. With all due respect, look, Tommy Vail's in the Chicago White Sox system now, so he's got ability. But I don't think any of us expected Tommy Vail to go out on a Friday night in Tuscaloosa and pitch Auburn to a Game 1 win in that series and it be the spark that turned things around for the season. Vail became your Friday starter, and Christian Herbertholt settled in to his Saturday role, and they kind of figured it out the rest of the way, and they did enough, and the offense did enough. And I don't know. I think we're in the same boat in that we don't really know who's going to be that guy to create the spark, but I know they'll keep working, and that's really what you ask at this point, is that they keep working and trying to find that solution. Offensively, I think they've got to really figure some stuff out, and you may see them turn to more of the younger players to do it without Bobby Pierce in the lineup, without likely Ike Irish in the lineup tonight. Neither one of those guys were in the lineup Tuesday against Alabama State. You got to be able to figure some stuff out. I thought Auburn's offensive approach against a well-coached Alabama State team, but not you should overcome even injuries to two of your most capable hitters in that game, with all due respect. And Coach Thompson said as much after the game. He said, you know, we're with them, and we're with the team, and we're going to support them and stand by them, and we're going to coach them. But I know John Cohen is big on this from his AD position, and I think that trickles down into the head coaches. At some point, these guys have to figure out some stuff on their own. And when you're up there at the plate and you're battling, and it's, you got a 1-1 pitch or a 3-1 pitch or an 0-2 pitch or whatever coming your way, you've got to figure that out. And Kentucky has good arms. They have, I think, the third best ERA in the SEC coming in, and you're going to be without two of your more capable offensive players in the lineup. So, you know, guys like Cade Ballou, Gavin Miller, Chris Stanfield, who's just a sophomore but an everyday starter, these some guys who need to come on offensively for the Tigers despite being underclassmen.
Yeah, just figuring it out. I mean, that's something I've kind of been talking about when it comes to the schedule that Auburn's had to play, right? Because, I mean, it has not been easy, and we all know that, but it's the SEC, and it's never easy. And eventually, you just got to break through and start getting some of those wins, and that's what Auburn has to do with the number 8 team in the country this weekend, Kentucky. Tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday, they are just – it's really impressive to see what they have become this season. Probably one of the biggest surprises in the SEC this season, Brad.
Yeah, and they do it exact opposite of how Tennessee did it last weekend. Tennessee tries to hit every single pitch out of the ballpark. Kentucky is kind of the opposite. They have some power, but – they have speed, they bunt, they they steal bases. They kind of do the little things well, and they put pressure on you on the base paths from the jump. So this is a very different challenge. This will be if Ike is not able to go, then Carter Wright behind the plate, the onus is on him. Keep the ball in front of you, throw out base stealers, because they're going to have opportunities to do that. Kentucky's got 80-plus stolen bases on the season. And then, as I said, they got the third-best ERA in the SEC. Their Sunday starter this weekend, it'll be their Saturday starter, is 7-0 with an earned run average under 3. That you don't have that on your game for your game 3 starter. So, these guys are protecting their bullpen. They're getting good starts out of their first line guys, and it will be a challenge both offensively and on the mound against Kentucky, a team that they have earned this 11-1 start to league play. You earn wins even if they're one-run wins, but they're bludgeoning teams. I mean, they haven't played many close games in conference play. They're just blowing past people. They swept Alabama last weekend, and not a one of those games was close in the back half of the ballgame.
Yeah, that team is playing extremely well. Their only SEC loss is Missouri, and then they actually lost in the midweek themselves when they came to the state of Alabama and lost to Samford.
Yeah, which was interesting. I think, you know, South Alabama may have beaten Alabama in the midweek, too. It was a weird midweek in the state of Alabama for baseball, for sure, as your three favorites in those three games all went down. But, again, what they've done in league play, they turn it on, and they turn it on right from the get go. So, you know, can Dylan Watts give Auburn four innings in a start? It hadn't happened much from Auburn starters. I know they believe in Watts. I know they believe in Cam Tilley. I know they believe in Alex Petrovic. As I think about young pitchers, if you're looking for growth and if you're looking to say, all right, let's take some lumps and improve and look to the future, some of those pitchers, some of the arms are the ones that I think you get called on. And I don't want to leave out Eric Guevara, the talented infielder who got his first hit Tuesday night against Alabama State. He would be another one of the freshmen that, you know, if you go that route, you'd see a lot more of him the rest of the year.
Auburn baseball hosting Kentucky this weekend, tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday. 6:30 start tonight, 6 o'clock on Friday, 2 p.m. on Saturday. All of those can be found here locally on the radio on Wings 94.3 over on our sister station. So, Brad, there's no Tiger Talk to plug. That is in the books for the season until you guys pick that back up in the fall. But tell everybody where they can find you and find everything and updates for the Auburn Sports Network.
Yeah, just go AU Sports Network on all of your social media outlets, and you know, we'll give you some behind-the-scenes stuff there and all the updates, weekly coaches' interviews, and lots of content, and we're just going to keep expanding that. So AU Sports Network is the place to find it. And yeah, you can make your plans now for Tiger Talk to come back in August after the summer break.
Awesome. Well, man, we're looking forward to that. Fall will be here before we know it, but definitely do not want to wish away the baseball season and Masters Week as well. Hey, you guys have a great call this weekend. We'll all be tuned in, and we'll talk to you next Thursday.
You got it, Jacob. Thank you. War Eagle.
That's Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network with us every Thursday at 2:30. We appreciate his time talking all things Auburn athletics. We'll talk about the breaking news. Dylan Cardwell coming back to Auburn basketball. We'll have reactions to that as we wrap up hour number one after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Couple of more minutes here in hour number one. We appreciate Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network joining us. Just got off the phone with him and talking about the breaking news for Auburn basketball. Yes, it's big time news. One we've been waiting on, an announcement we've been hopeful for. Auburn is getting Dylan Cardwell back for another year, who had all sorts of options, had all sorts of possibilities. He could have gone and played overseas. He could have just graduated like he's already done and just gone into the real world. He could have came back. I mean, he had so many options for what he wanted to do with his future. And he announced about 20 minutes ago that Dylan Cardwell is coming back to Auburn for one more time. And like we were talking with Brad, man, Dylan is such a good guy. And I've gotten to know him a little bit with him being the Tiger Takes guest here on ESPN and talking with him after some games and stuff. And he's just an easy guy to root for. I mean, he's just a guy that you love to see do well, be successful. As Brad was saying, he vocalizes his love and his faith of Auburn, his faith in God, and just the love that he has for his family and those that are surrounding him and supporting him. And that's something that I just respect so much, personally. I mean, you might not, and others might not, and that's fine, but those things stick out to me. A guy that has so much energy, so much passion. I love that. I love the passion that he has, and that's a big word for me in my life and the things that I've done. Passion is a real big one because he cares. And when you have that, when you have that drive to be great and that drive to do your best and give it everything you've got for the thing that you love and the place that you love and the thing you love to do, that's what Dylan Cardwell represents. That's what I see when I look at him. And the fact that he not only has all of those things, but he's also a really good basketball player and got better this year. He had his best year of basketball this past season for Auburn. And now you get him for another year. And the question is, okay, are they going to pair him with Jani Broome if he comes back being Jani Broome? Or could Dylan Cardwell be your guy next season? And you know what? If Jani Broome doesn't come back and does decide to test the NBA draft waters, we'd obviously love him back. But Dylan could be your guy regardless. And we were calling for, on this program in particular, we were calling for both of them to play at the same time. Dylan is a center. Jani is more of a four than a five, in my opinion. I think Jani Broome is more of your power forward, gets in the lane, has a little bit more finesse, can orchestrate the offense, whereas Dylan Cardwell is a massive tree down there. You can lob it up to him to dunk it. He'll clean up the glass. He'll slam it down. He can finish it off the rim, and he can get fouled and go to the free throw line. Like, that's what Dylan Cardwell does offensively. And then defensively, he's a unit down there. Speaking of being a tree, he's just a force on that end of the floor. Because when the guards get in there, he's so tall, he's so physical, and he's so smart that he goes straight up every single time just about. There are some times he'll bring those arms down just a hair, and he'll get called for the foul. He won't believe it, but he will. But most of the time, Dylan Cardwell plays the right way. And he's an effective player on both sides, and he hustles more than anybody. That's a guy you want on your team. And Auburn's had that for a long time. And now they're getting him back for one more year. Dylan Cardwell returning for Auburn basketball next season. Would love to get your thoughts on this. 334-321-1390. More college basketball things to talk about. Update from the Masters. And Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. All of that is coming up in hour number two. Stick around.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. If you missed any of hour number one, had so much good things to talk about. Me and intern Alan talked about the Masters that is well underway. Tiger Woods is off and running on the first hole, I believe, and he is in the fairway on the first hole, so we'll see what he ends up doing. And some big numbers being put up out there. Bryson DeChambeau playing well. He's 7 under heading on to 18, and Tiger just flew one onto the green. He's got about an 8 or 9 footer for birdie on number one. So talked a lot about that in the first hour. Also with some big college basketball news as Kentucky still looking for their next head coach. Who could it be? Who could it be that the Cats go after? We talked about that. Also had Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network who joined us to discuss some breaking news about Auburn basketball. We'll get to in just a second. Well, also, we talked about baseball as the Tigers and Butch Thompson back in action tonight against the number 8 team in the country, the Kentucky Wildcats, tonight, Friday, and Saturday. So that was all back in hour number one. If you missed any of it, you can go and listen to the podcast later on today at ESPNAU.com or wherever you get your podcast. Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, will be joining us coming up at 3:30, so about 30 minutes or so. And we've got so many things to talk about in terms of the SEC, what's going on in college basketball, college football, spring games that are wrapping up, transfer portal about to be blown wide open again. I mean, so many crazy things are happening in the world of college football. So all of that coming up with Chris Gordy coming up a little bit later in the show. Until then, though, phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? Anything in particular you want to hear on the show today? And That breaking news I talked about that happened about 30 minutes ago or so, according to himself on all of his social medias, Dylan Cardwell, the center for Auburn basketball, announced that he is returning for another season. And this is really, really big news for Auburn. Big news for Bruce Pearl, and just big news for you as a fan, because look, Dylan Cardwell is going to go down as one of the most likable players, one of the biggest fan favorite guys that have ever played at Auburn in any sport. I mean, he's just that type of guy that you love to see win, love to see play. He gives it everything he's got for Auburn basketball. And when you know, when we were pondering what was going to happen here, whether he was going to go and try to play some level of pro ball or whether he was going to hang it up or possibly come back, I mean, all of these things were an option for him, but he loves Auburn so much. And Brad Law put it really well, too. NIL, he's now getting to make a pretty penny on that because he earned that. He was not recruited and paid to come play at Auburn. Let's just be real, right? Because Dylan Cardwell was a great player. But he wasn't this massive five-star, top five McDonald's All-American recruit that apparently today I saw something about where a reporter got a call from a head coach, an anonymous head coach, saying that a kid who was thinking about entering the transfer portal was demanding $1.5 million in NIL money in college basketball. Yeah. That's where we are today in the sport. Guess what? That's not Dylan Cardwell. That was not Dylan Cardwell when he was recruited out of high school. But he has earned that the right way. And remember, that is what NIL was supposed to be. You come in, you play well, you build your own brand, and you expand on your name, your image, and your likeness. And I think that was wonderfully said by Brad Law, because now all of you that donate to On to Victory, where that money is split up and guys get paid to come back, yeah, it's going to a guy like Dylan Cardwell. That's a good thing. That's a really good thing. And this is what it was supposed to be when it all started. Of course, the NCAA handled it poorly and it didn't go that way, but this is one of the few occasions and instances where it's working like it should. And then on the basketball side of things, Dylan Cardwell makes this team better. He makes this team better. And all he has done since he got to Auburn is get better. And get better and get better and get better. And he was a massive reason that Auburn was a top four seed in the NCAA tournament this year. That he is a part of that. He was a part of that 8, 9, 10-man rotation that played all season long. He was a part of when Jahni Broome left the floor and Dylan Cardwell came in, there was no drop-off. There was little to no drop-off, I should say. A little bit different players, but you see what I'm saying here, right? Just no drop-off there because you trusted what he could do offensively and defensively. And I think one of the bigger parts of this is the fact that now that's one less roster spot you have to go fill. That's one less guy you have to bring in on this team to replace. Not only do you trust him, not only do you believe in him, but he can perform and you don't have to replace him now. And that's a big, big deal with Dylan Cardwell coming back. 334-321-1390. Let's get to the phone lines. And Ed, you're on the line, man. Happy Thursday. What's up?
Hey guys, great Thursday. Well, it's been really bad for me, but that's okay. I was just calling you I'm glad Cardwell's coming back so bad. And you know, I kind of hope that Trey Donaldson might look at it a little bit differently. You know, I am in no way upset that Holloway's leaving, but I just wanted to. I'm going to talk about something different for a minute.
Okay.
Okay. All right, way back in the day, I'm older than probably your parents. At 15, you could get a worker's permit, and you could work, okay,
mm-hmm.
and make money. I think you probably still can. I know Alvin Briggs. I know the Auburn connections. I know everything. I know how everybody wants to, you know, but let's be realistic for a second, okay? High school sports are going to follow suit with what's going on. If you've got a high school kid, and if Alabama will not allow payments to that kid until he graduates, that kid's going to, you know, Ohio State's going to buy his family a home, you know, in Columbus, Ohio, and you know, give his dad a, things are about to change. I don't like it, but I mean, it is going to happen. It's not, John Roberts, Supreme Court, he opened it up, you mm-hmm. know, when he said, and I'm not saying he was wrong or right, but what I'm telling you, everybody, you know, worrying about high school coaches, well, this kid will leave, you know, if he commits in the summer, he's not going to play his senior year. You know, he's just going to sit out. Well, you know, I'll bet my dadgum left foot you are going to see NIL leak into high school sports in the very near future, because how do you stop it?
Yeah.
But if I can go work at Jiffy Quick, you know, I can go work for Nike, mm-hmm. You know, whatever.
Right.
It will happen.
Probably. I mean,
I'm not saying probably it will.
Yeah.
The laws of the United States say that there's nothing stopping the first kid that challenges this from getting NIL deal in college. And if Alabama tries to block it, his family will be moved to another state.
Mm-hmm.
It's the law. It has nothing to do with Alvin Briggs or the high school. It has nothing to do with the NCAA. It has to do with what John Roberts, you know, who started this, you know. And hey, I have nothing against it. Hey, the kids in high school, maybe they should be. But anybody saying that's not going to happen, you know, you're living in a dang dreamland.
Well,
War Eagle, guys.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Ed. 334-321-1390. And you said something there that really sparked my interest. And if that is to happen, right, and you're right, Ed, there's a good chance it's going to happen. And if it is to happen, the reason it will is when that first kid challenges it, like you said, when that first kid steps up and says, hey, I want to get paid right now, and however you got to work that legally and go through all that, I mean, when the first person takes that, the first player, the first family takes that step, that's when it all starts. It was the same way with NIL in college, when they started saying, yeah, you're going to have to pay me to come play here. Like, that's how it works. That's how it started. It went from this thing was created to pay athletes for their name, image, and likeness when they played at our school and played for our program. It went from that to, yeah, you're going to pay me $50,000 to come there. It did that like that. And it took one person to do it. And then the Arch Mannings of the world came around and said, yeah, I'm worth a lot more than that. You're going to pay me in the seven digits. And that's how it started. And that's how it's continued to roll. And so, in the level of high school, yeah. I mean, who is going to be the first one? And if the laws allow it, or if they don't, something can change, and laws change all the time. And eventually, if you get enough of them together, yeah, who knows what the possibilities are. And shoot, we had a lot of people upset 10 years ago when the idea of paying college athletes started coming around, that were all sorts of fired up about it. Imagine now if you could have high schools who, let's be real, are already recruiting, major high schools recruit players. It's not, it ain't rocket science. It's pretty obvious. But imagine those high schools somehow, some way, having a pocket of money to go and get kids. I mean, that you're talking some real serious stuff, and that's when you really start getting into, okay, is this really ethical at this point? You know what I mean? I feel like we're really starting to get to that, if that is to happen, what Ed was talking about. Appreciate you bringing that up, Ed. That's a really intriguing topic there. And an update from the Masters. Tiger Woods, he knocked in that birdie putt on number one. But don't you worry, he stepped up on 2T and shanked it left. So we'll see what happens with Tiger Woods in that. Allen, where you were watching that during the phone call. What was it, about a 10-footer on one that he made after he landed it on the green from the fairway?
And he walked it in, just like the Tiger of old, and then pulled it left off the second tee. So
yes, I know. In true Tiger fashion,
I know X and every other social media was losing their minds for about 2 minutes. Back to earth we go.
Yeah, and back to reality. Right, that's how that works. And we'll keep you updated on that. And everybody got excited about old Tiger Woods hitting a birdie on number one, and then shanked it into the woods on number two. So oh my goodness. Wow. we got it on the TV here in the studio. He is under what I can only describe as a mushroom-style tree. I don't know my type of trees, but this tree is no taller than about 10 feet off the ground, and the leaves and branches hang down to about a foot off the pine straw, and there goes Tiger walking through the woods, and his ball was parked right up underneath it.
I feel like that's an excusable thing, though, at Augusta. They have so many different types of plants there that...
Yeah.
I think that's an excusable thing for us not to know the specific type.
We're going to get the legendary Tiger like on his knees with the 6-iron and just swing it like a baseball bat to try to get it out and punch it into the fairway.
I mean, with all the surgeries he's had, he probably won't even feel it. So,
or he could just wouldn't get up.
Or, yeah, that's likely too. I will say that it is amazing seeing him walk around Augusta National after everything that he's been through physically. So...
And look at all the winds there, too. I mean, the wind is howling there at Augusta right now.
Yeah, conditions are getting really tough. And right now, Bryson DeChambeau's at 7 under par. It looks like if the wind keeps freshening throughout the rest of the day, it looks like that's going to hold for a while.
Wow. Yeah, DeChambeau at 7, Willett at 4, Hovland at 4. Love to see that, 4 under through 9. On is 4 under through 15. And Tiger walking up to his ball. Well, we're going to go to break. We're going to watch this shot and see what happens. We'll talk some more about this. Anything else you want to talk about? Some big news about Auburn. We need to talk potential transfer portal news for Auburn basketball before Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, joins us. You can be a part of the show as well. 334-321-1390.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Back here on the Thursday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. We'll get to the phone lines in just a second. Some more updates from the Masters. Tiger escaped out of that spot somehow, just punched it out into the fairway. Bryson DeChambeau is about to tap in for birdie on 18 to shoot a 65. That's unbelievable, man. So, great scores going on so far at the Masters, but let's get to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. Terry, you're on the line. What's up?
Hey, Jacob, did I hear you correctly? A 65?
I believe so. I believe that's what Bryson's going for. He's at 7 under and about to tap in for birdie on 18.
Wow. That's pretty good.
I'd say so.
Yeah, Jacob, you made a reference to it before you went to break about possible portal news, maybe, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Garner, has he jumped in the portal yet? I'm a little surprised he hasn't, to be honest, if he hasn't.
Oh, I was talking basketball portal news. I haven't seen anything with football yet, and still waiting on that to get going and kind of open up and do all that. Some schools wrapping up spring ball this week, and I believe the portal opens up next week. And so, no, nothing on the football side as of yet, but I was talking some potential basketball news, Terry.
I'm sorry about that.
No, I mean, you're good. And well, the basketball news, I'll go ahead and tell you, there is no news, but it is people are really starting to feel good about the Furman transfer, J.P. Pegues, who is the guy who is a baller at Furman, hit a game-winning shot to beat Virginia in the tournament a couple of years ago, and he also canceled his visit to Florida that was coming up. So in Auburn, he's already been really interested in Auburn and stuff, and so people are starting to feel good. Nothing as of yet, but just something to note there about Pegues.
And, Jacob, have you ever seen a player fall out of more favor than Aiden Holloway did? because I don't know if an Auburn fan, me included, that don't care if he comes back or not, just assume he goes. Because the first game of the year, he looked like he was going to be unstoppable.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think his expectations were just so high, right? And understandably so. I mean, he somewhat set those for himself with his play that he did in high school, right? And the level that he was playing at coming in to Auburn. But, yeah, he just never got there, man. And you hate to see it for him because I think he's going to be a good player somewhere. He just needs a little confidence boost. He needs some help. And whether he gets that or not, we'll find out. But, yeah, most Auburn fans were, I guess, sad to see him go, but nobody was – it didn't seem like too many people were heartbroken about it.
And where is he from, Jacob? Because that's what I always – that's the first thing I look at when I hear of a player leaving. Where are they from?
Who, Aiden Holloway?
Aiden Holloway, right.
I believe he's from Georgia, I think. I'd have to double-check to see where exactly – that he is from. I'd have to double check on that, but he's from North Carolina. Apologies. He's from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, there's all kind of basketball schools in that area.
Yeah, I think there's a couple.
Yeah, a few. I just don't understand. I mean, the portal can be a great thing, can be a bad thing too. Let's be honest. If he goes somewhere and shows out, it's going to look bad on Auburn. And Bruce Pearl, let's be honest, but I just don't think he was ever a good fit. And you were alerted, you made reference to it earlier. He did it to himself because that first game he was just unstoppable, unbelievable, and he just went backwards from there. And I don't know if I've ever seen a player go that far backwards because the end of the year he was basically non-existent. His line was basically a goose egg, a zero all the way across.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate too because again he was just a really, really good player and the potential. And that's what I was saying the other day when we were talking about Trey Donaldson and Aiden Holloway both being in the portal. It's like, man, if you could choose one to come back, I would personally choose Trey Donaldson because he's already proven it. But Aiden Holloway's ceiling is as high as anybody in college basketball. But yeah, it just never panned out. And yeah, while he is from North Carolina, I forgot he actually played his final year of high school ball out in California. So keep that in mind, too.
And one last thing, Jacob. People, please keep in mind when somebody's listed a five-star, that's just basically, for all intents and purposes, somebody's opinion. That's really what that is. And I know that most of them are trying to be great players or pretty good players or whatever, but that five-star is just somebody's opinion. I mean, look, there have been plenty of three-stars go to schools and end up being five-stars when they leave.
Yeah, and look, I mean, in not just Auburn basketball, but the history of Auburn main athletics. I mean, they've had arguably more success with lesser star players than they have with higher star players.
Sure, that Final Four team everybody loves to reference. I didn't have a lot of five stars on, if any. I don't remember. Nobody wanted any of those guys.
Shoot, they had two and three stars on that team, Terry.
That's my whole point. You know, in Kentucky, John Calabria gets five stars every year, and now look, he's in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and that's why you can't. You can look at the rankings, and they're important, and they're fun to talk about, right? But they're not everything. They do mean something.
Magazines.
Yeah, well, they're not everything. I agree with you on that.
Yeah. Take care, Jacob.
Thanks so much, Terry. Good to hear from you, man. 334-321-1390. And, you know, you do hate to see Aiden Holloway go. I'm really sad about Trey Donaldson. I am. That one hurts for sure. It's nice to know that Dylan Cardwell is coming back. I know those are two completely different positions, but it is nice to know that he is coming back, so you do bring back one of your veterans, one of your seasoned guys who is playing the best basketball of his career right now. So that's exciting. But, yeah, Aiden Holloway played out at Prolific Prep in California, was from North Carolina, played a little bit in Indiana as well. And so, you know, there's other places that he could go. And, you know, like Terry said, if he does, and that's just the Auburn way that somebody leaves and didn't pan out here and he'll go and be a superstar somewhere else, I'm sure it'll happen because that's how it always goes. But Auburn can't worry about that right now. Auburn has to worry about the guys that are here and the guys that are going to be coming here. And look, I think J.P. Pegues could be a guy that does end up here. And whether it be him or Miles Rice, that's another guy that Auburn's been in on in the transfer portal. No matter who it is, you've got to focus on those guys. And I really think it's important right now for Auburn and Bruce Pearl and this coaching staff to figure out, sit down and say, okay, What do we need to change? What has to happen right now for us to be successful? Because let's just be real. What we're doing is not working. And whether that be different in recruiting or scouting or game planning or development, I mean, all those things could be true. It doesn't have to just be one singular thing. But you have to go in and try to reevaluate. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, okay, what can we change to make sure we start making some runs in the tournament again? And Auburn's going to have to do that. But first things first, you got to get some guys on this roster. Got to go get some guys. And I think Auburn's doing that in the transfer portal in terms of basketball. Don't worry, Terry. We'll have a lot of news coming up for football very, very soon. Coming up next, Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, will join us. I'm sure he's got just a few things to say about the John Calipari news, who the next head coach is going to be there, SEC baseball, spring football as well. We won't have enough time, but we're sure going to try. Chris Gordy coming up after this.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goetz with you inside the studio and really excited to get this guy on here, man. He covers the SEC better than anybody. He talks about it each and every day on the midweek, on Locked On SEC, on YouTube, on the audio, wherever you get your podcast. It's Chris Gordy who is joining us on the phone lines as he does every Thursday. Chris, we say this all the time, but I really hate that we're going to struggle to find 15 to 20 minutes of topics to go over today.
Well, I mean, first and foremost, you guys need to be on Bruce Pearl watch here. I mean, as Kentucky continues to strike out on name after name, you might want to get some handcuffs and handcuff old Bruce to Auburn, Alabama, because as Kentucky goes down their list, Bruce may be popping up here very soon as they keep getting told no by a lot of schools.
Do you firmly believe that Bruce Pearl is coming up on the phone call list for Kentucky since they've been turned down by everybody else that they wanted?
Well, I think he's on the short list of, like, if we were naming and look at when the name started first emerging. I mean, about every top five list that came out, Bruce Pearl's name was on that list. Mm-hmm. You know, it was dreaming big. You know, Dan Hurley, okay, he's at UConn. He just won his second championship. You got to figure they're not getting him. Jay Wright, you know, retired for a reason. He was in a beautiful spot at Villanova. He won multiple championships there. He loves his TV gig. Why would he leave that for a pressure job like Kentucky? So, you know, a few of these have kind of made sense. You know, Scott Drew did the whole thing where he kind of visited with him and then said, I'm going to pray on it. Woke up this morning and said God was telling me staying at Baylor. How can you argue with God? I mean, you can't really do anything about that. So as they keep getting told no by people, I think that the next dominoes on the list are Billy Donovan, who I still have reservations about because he hasn't coached in a decade in college. He's been in the NBA. How would he coach with NIL and transfer portal and all that? You know, he'd probably be okay, but you never know. But of, like, known commodities, Bruce Pearl's pretty damn good. He recruits at a high level. You know, he's had some nice tournament runs with Auburn, like, you know, this year notwithstanding. But, you know, like, he checks a lot of boxes. And obviously Kentucky can, you know, they're willing to pay guys more than anybody else. And so they would go up there with money. If they got into a bidding war, would he go back to Auburn and say, well, pay me more if you want to keep me? I don't know what would happen there, but yeah, I think he's one of the next names on the list. You know, Chris Beard's name had popped up at Ole Miss. I still think Will Wade would be a phenomenal hire by Kentucky. They won't do it because he's not a sexy name, but Will Wade's one of the best X's and O's coaches in college basketball, and he recruits well. And yeah, he got nipped by the FBI with paying for players, but again, that's legal now, so who cares? So. But that, to me, Will Wade would make a lot of sense, but they're not going to do it. So we'll see what happens here. Again, I don't think Bruce Pearl would leave, but if Kentucky came calling and the price was right and, you know, they're going to be building a new practice facility likely for, you know, for whoever is the new coach. They just did all these renovations at Rupp Arena. They're desperate for a winner. I mean, you know, desperate teams do crazy things. And money will make people do crazy things. I said it before. Look, I love America, but if you pay me $10 million to move to Istanbul for a year, I will pack my bags by 6 p.m. tonight. So, you know, money makes guys do crazy things. So we'll see.
Money talks.
I do think Bruce Pearl's name will pop up on this list. Does he have any interest in going? I don't know. But if you're Kentucky, you got to at least make the phone call.
Is it? Some people are starting to chatter around, you know, around different boards and group chats and things like that, Chris. Is it embarrassing for Kentucky the fact that the first three or four people they've called have not just considered it and then turned? I mean, they've completely turned it down. Like, they are like, no, I'm not leaving. Dan Hurley at UConn, Scott Drew at Baylor, apparently Nate Oates at Alabama, which I don't know if that one's completely done, but it seems like it is. I mean, should Kentucky really start to be worried about who in the world is going to coach our basketball team next year?
No, because it's not just like, this isn't unique to Kentucky. Chris Vanini tweeted this out earlier. He goes, we're living in a world where the Alabama football job and the Kentucky basketball job opened up in the last few months, and people are turning it down. Like, it's just gone are the days that you can get, you know, that the best job in the country can get you anybody you want. Like, that's just not the case anymore. That said, whoever gets their first pick anymore, like, whoever, how often these days does a job come open and the rumor comes out that this is the guy who's at the top of their list, and they get that guy?
That's fair.
I mean, don't let Alabama fans fool you. Like, Kalen DeBoer was not the first name on their list. They can spin it however they want. You know, I've seen things where, that was our guy the whole time. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. You guys called multiple people before you got to Kalen DeBoer. So, but there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I think back to, you know, 20 years ago when Nick Saban left LSU, number one on LSU's list was Steve Spurrier. They couldn't get Spurrier. They settled for Les Miles. Les Miles, 3 years in, wins a national championship at LSU. I mean, sometimes these things work out in your favor. The only one I could ever think of that a job opened and they got the number one guy on their list was Ohio State and Urban Meyer. Mm. Like, when Urban was available, they pinned him as the number one guy, and they gave him an offer he couldn't refuse. And it worked out. He won a championship at Ohio State. But, like, every other job that opens, there are going to be multiple people that turn it down. Because, let's be real, being the head coach of Kentucky is a pressure job. Like, Dan Hurley is in a no-pressure situation at UConn. He could go 500 the next 5 years at UConn, and guess what? They're not firing him. Like, he has bought himself years of mediocrity by doing what he's done at UConn, and he's done a great job there. Nate Oates just took Alabama to their first Final Four ever. Why in the world would you want to leave that where they think the world of you to go to Kentucky where you're going to be judged from day one you step on the court? You know what I mean?
Like, you better believe it.
It's a pressure job, and not everybody wants that pressure. They understand the fans will eat you alive there because they're so rabid. There's a reason why Steve Sarkisian and Mike Norvell told Alabama, thanks but no thanks. I don't want to go there. I'm not following Nick Saban. Y'all are going to eat me alive there. So, I think it's a great point Vanini made, and I do think, like, we're living in a day and age where when prime jobs open up, you're having to go to your third, fourth, or fifth best option. And, again, that's not a bad thing. A lot of times the fourth or fifth best option works. Steve Sarkisian was not Texas's first option, and he's doing well there, and they like him. So, again, like, sometimes it's okay to settle for your fourth or fifth option.
What's crazy in all of this, Chris, is we're talking about, okay, who's going to be the next coach at Kentucky? Who's going to be the next coach? Who's going to take it? Who's going to leave their program and go be the next head coach of the Cats? We're still forgetting to talk about that John Calipari is the new coach at Arkansas, of all places, and he has not a single player on the roster. I mean, it's unbelievable to see what's going to be happening in Fayetteville over the next 6 months.
Yeah, I think they're gonna put their money where their mouth is. They're gonna spend in NIL. They're gonna get a couple of these kids that committed to him at Kentucky to flip and come to Arkansas. He's gonna fill out a roster, but man, that press conference I saw from him yesterday was very uninspiring. Like, to me,
it was weird.
It looks like a guy that was ready to retire, yet his billionaire friend came calling in the 11th hour and said, "Hey, why don't you come over here?" Like, he is only there because he's best buddies with the Tyson Chicken dude and was willing to write a check. But Cal's sitting there going, I don't care if this works or not. Like, if this doesn't work, I'll do this for 2 years and I'll walk off into the sunset, retire. I got my championship. I got all the money in the world. Like, that's a little scary if I'm an Arkansas fan, because it's so funny. I was watching Arkansas fans have fighting words with Kentucky fans last night on social media, and all of them were self-burned. Like, I saw one guy tweet at Kentucky and going, yeah, Kentucky, y'all think y'all are big and bad. Y'all haven't even won a tournament game in the last 5 years. You know, one tournament win the last 5 years, and they're going, yeah, dummy, that's your coach now. Like, it's just this weird, like, you know, I saw somebody say, like, Eric Musselman, we're acting, you know, somebody said Arkansas can now take the step forward as a premier program, and it's like, what the hell was Eric Musselman doing the last 4 years? Like,
right.
All these Sweet 16 Elite Eight runs, like, we're acting like those didn't happen. And Cal, who hasn't done it in over 5 years, is suddenly going to do it again? Like, it's just, it's a weird thing. Somebody else tweeted, can you imagine what he can do with a number one recruiting class? Yeah, we just saw it in Kentucky.
he used to do it every year.
So it's a really weird thing. I don't know what world the Arkansas fans are living in, where they're, like, just completely blinded by the hire. And, yes, it seems on paper, don't not get excited. It is exciting. It's a great coach, but, like, this is also a guy that has, since COVID hit, has massively underachieved at one of the best jobs in college basketball with all the resources in the world. And I do think one of the biggest things was he fell out of favor with the boosters at Kentucky. He did not have, when he left that job a few days ago, he did not have one friend left on the, you know, that was a booster at Kentucky.
Nope.
So that tells you a lot about his relationship. He will have booster buddies at Arkansas. Again, Tyson Chicken family starts with them and on down. So we'll see what happens. You know, if they're showing him love, he'll show them love. And who knows? You know, nobody has more power than a wife that's scorned. I mean, this is the ex-wife who just went and got Botox injections, and she's got her new dress, and she's ready to go out to the club. You know, Cal wants to impress at Arkansas. He wants to show them I still got it. So we'll see what he does. But yeah, man, it's a little weird that we're having revisionist history here and trying to act like Musselman was a terrible coach and Cal's going to be this rock star when it's been quite the opposite.
Yeah, well, I saw somebody tweet out. They were like, it's peak fandom, and not just for Arkansas, but just in general. It's peak fandom to, you know, make fun of a guy and poke fun of him and just hate on him for his entire career, and then all of a sudden he becomes your new head coach, and you flip within the 30 minutes that it happens, and now he's the greatest thing since Jesus. I mean, it's just like, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but that's exactly what's happening in Fayetteville right now. And look, more power to him, man. If it works out, good for them, and we'll see what happens in the entire college basketball landscape of things. Talking with Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, with us here on ESPN Radio. Looking at baseball in the SEC, it's been wild, man. You've got teams like Kentucky that are coming here to Auburn this weekend that have one loss in the SEC. You've still got the big dogs doing their thing, and it's going to be a fight all the way to the end, Chris. What have you seen in SEC baseball so far?
Yeah, it's wild, man. I mean, Jay Johnson at LSU, they are really going through it right now. They lost 2 out of 3 at home to Vanderbilt last week. And you go look at what LSU has faced. They've faced all top 10 teams so far. I mean, Auburn has faced their fair share of tough opponents. And Jay Johnson said, this is tougher than Omaha. Like, we're facing top 10 teams every week. You don't even get that in Omaha. Like, you'll get the rare, you know, top 25 team that made it. You know, like, it's just insanity how stacked the SEC is this year with just elite-level talent, and anybody can be beat. I mean, you know, Florida was looking like one of the best teams in the country for a couple weeks, and then they go and get swept by lowly Missouri this past week. It's just it's wild what happens in this conference sometimes. And, again, you know, I was looking at Auburn saying, hey, things might get better here soon with, you know, maybe the schedule getting a little bit easier in a couple weeks. But It's tough, man. I mean, you're getting everybody's best shot. I mean, you know, LSU's struggling. They got to go to Tennessee this weekend. You know, Ole Miss is struggling. I mean, just it's nuts. So if you're not named Arkansas or Kentucky right now, your team, you're looking in the mirror going, what are we right now? It's become brutally tough. And I thought Kentucky was a little bit of fool's gold a few weeks ago. I thought this was a team playing above their heads, but man, the longer the season goes along and they're sitting there 11-1, you're like, I don't think this is fool's gold. I think this is a really good team. So, yeah, man, it's crazy. You know, starting pitchers in this league that are elite are getting shelled on Friday nights and Saturday nights right now. And you're seeing guys hitting home runs that, you know, didn't have any early in the year and are finding their stride. So it's craziness. And, yeah, it's just everybody beating up on everybody. You know, maybe that'll come home to roost if, you know, we'll see at the end of the year if the SEC gets multiple teams into the tournament. You know, you'll have some guys going on the road for a regional and playing spoiler, you know, because they're more battle-tested than maybe some of these other teams in weaker conferences. So maybe it'll help them out in the long run. But yeah, right now, man, it's like a prize fight. Everybody's got bloody noses and their eyes are bleeding, and you're looking around at each other going, "What is going on?"
And it's almost concerning when you start talking about postseason, because I mean, is the SEC, are they in danger of some of these teams not making it or not being where they want to be in postseason? Obviously, hosting regionals and things like that. And I mean, it's tough when you have to go on the road in the regional, even if you are the better team, Chris.
It is, but you know, this is where I think RPI will come into play. You know, if you lose a bunch of series, but they were all to top 10 teams, you know, your RPI is still going to look pretty damn strong. So, you know, maybe you end up as a 2 seed in Coastal Carolina or Dallas Baptist, you know, an environment that, you know, you go from playing road series every week in the SEC to going to play a road series at Dallas Baptist. That ain't going to intimidate you. You're going to go in there and play your butt off. So, yeah, I just think, you know, again, you got to take care of business, and hopefully you did in non-conference, you know, if you're going to be a postseason team. But, you know, I just hope that the committee recognizes that a lot of these SEC teams are all, you know, when you got losses to teams that are ranked 10, 9, 7, 3, 1, you know, those losses should go much further than some of these other conferences.
Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. He's with us every Thursday here on ESPN 106.7. Transfer portal for college basketball wide open, college football right around the corner as teams are wrapping up their spring games. And look, spring is almost done. The summer will be here. Talking season is almost upon us for SEC football. But, man, there's going to be a lot to talk about over the next few months.
There is, and I didn't even give you a quick thought on the Auburn spring game. Obviously, Cam Coleman, excited for him. I hate to keep putting pressure on the kid, but he's a stud in the making. I mean, he's going to be awesome. He's going to be the next great Auburn wide receiver. Peyton Thorne, I don't know if he answered many questions. You know, he had some nice throws. He had some bad throws early on. I do think the defense is going to be very good. You know, I think DJ Durkin's got them ready to go. I think the front seven's going to be better than maybe we thought. And I love the Auburn secondary. I think they're going to be good again, too. So, yeah, I don't know if we answered a lot of questions with Auburn, but I think it all comes back to Peyton Thorne still. If he can develop and develop that chemistry with those receivers and can connect with them come August, September, October, yeah, this Auburn team can surprise us and maybe win, you know, 9-plus games, and we'll see. So, you know, we'll see if we get any answers from any teams this weekend. I saw Ole Miss, their spring game, they're doing like a 7-versus-7 and competitive eating contest for their spring game. So it's just funny, you know, not everybody takes their spring game seriously. And yeah, I do like the model that Hugh Freeze had, the 4, you know, 10-minute quarters with the rotation of first team, second team, third team, fourth team. I thought it was fun to get a look at everybody. And, man, the future, he's not going to play this year much, but Walker White in the future, man, the zip on the ball, his arm delivery, that kid, I can't wait to see where he is 2 years from now. I think he's going to be a stud.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that are in that camp, Chris. I think a lot of people are excited for him. And look, Auburn fans are still concerned about Peyton Thorne because, as you said, he didn't really answer any questions in the spring game. And some people created some new questions. It's like, man, what happens if it doesn't work with Peyton Thorne? It's like, as of right now, Hugh Freeze hasn't really brought anybody in to compete with that. I mean, you got the young guys, sure. But, man, a lot of people are starting to get concerned here on the Plains about Peyton Thorne.
Yeah, and you know, look, I go with what Hugh Freeze said. He said on the field talking to Chris Doering that, you know, he said the last 2 weeks the light bulb's really come on from Peyton Thorne, and said he's starting to, you know, be that leader in the locker room and, you know, really starting to develop chemistry. So, you know, let's hope he's right. And if that's the case, then maybe we'll see a different guy come, you know, late summer into the fall. And I hope that's the case. But, you know, it's funny. It's the chicken or the egg. Somebody was like, man, Jarquez Hunter, they couldn't really run the football. And somebody said, well, it's because the defense is that good. I'm like, well, that's the age-old question in the spring game. If the offense sucks, well, it means the defense is just lights out. Or does it mean the offense sucks and the defense is just average? You never know until the season gets here.
Well, that's why I say I don't buy into spring games. I don't take hardly anything away from it. And the fact that we've got people doing eating contests at spring games tell you all you need to know about how non-serious those have become around college football. Chris Gordy, man, you do a fantastic job. Locked On SEC. Tell people where they can find it and what's coming up. I know it's a busy time for you right now.
Yeah, just search Locked On SEC wherever you get your podcasts. We'll probably do an episode tomorrow on the Kentucky coaching search and the latest there. And let's see if Bruce Pearl's name, or, you know, gets back into the mix in there. And Hey, congratulations to you, Jacob. They got to update your promos and your intros and say award-winning Jacob Dillon.
Yes, sir. Thank you, man. I do appreciate that. And it was definitely an honor. I appreciate the kind words, Chris. And look, man, you do a fantastic job. If you're looking for SEC daily content, go find it Locked On SEC on YouTube, on audio, wherever you get your podcast. Chris, enjoy the rest of the week and the weekend, and we'll talk to you next Thursday.
All right, sounds good, man. Thanks.
That's Chris Gordy, host of Locked On SEC. Go check it out. He does a fantastic job, and man, his videos have been killing it on YouTube. All this stuff about Kentucky and John Calipari and possibly Bruce Pearl, and then all the spring game stuff. I mean, he's taking advantage of it in such a good way. So we'll take our final break and come back and wrap it up here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Phone lines are open. Better make it quick, though. Come on in. We'll wrap up the Thursday edition of On the Line after this.
Are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. We appreciate Chris Gordy joining us as he always does each and every Thursday. He was fired up today, man. He normally fits our show narrative very well, telling it like it is and holding nothing back. And look, love Chris, man. Appreciate his kind words as well. And he had a lot to say about John Calipari, about the Kentucky job, spring football, baseball, all that sort of stuff. So talk to him today. Also talked with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network back in hour number one, and we've covered all sorts of things today. Breaking news for Auburn basketball: Dylan Cardwell coming back for Auburn for another season. Talked about potential portal news for Auburn basketball. Also, we've talked the Masters today. Just so many things that we've gone over. So if you missed any of it, you can go and catch up with the podcast at ESPNAU.com or just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. And I will never ever understand the state of Alabama. I really won't. Ohio was the same way. It was pouring rain about 10-20 minutes ago, and now clouds are gone, bright and sunny, blue skies. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Well, we have Lee Scott Baseball tonight if you want to tune in over on Tiger Country 104.5 at 6 o'clock. We'll be going live probably about 5:50 or so. Lee Scott and St. and Pacelli. So there you go for that. And Tiger doing okay right now in the Masters. We'll talk about this some more tomorrow, huh?
Yeah. Been a pleasure to sit in here and talk some golf with you. I'll be out tomorrow, but it's been a good show. It's been a good Master so far. Got a lot of big names up there. Going to be an exciting weekend.
Yeah, we'll talk about that tomorrow, and then you'll be back on Monday. I'll have you hop on and recap it as well. Big names on the leaderboard. Hey, tomorrow we'll be live at Baumhauer's Victory Grill, 2-6 on the line and the drive. It's all brought to you by our friends at Cincy Green Heating and Air. Come out and join us on location tomorrow. And until then, 2-4 right here on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.